The Depores Pages Homilies. These homilies are a production of the Depores Pages. You can find all our podcasts at thefriar.org. The Friar, FRIAR.org. You can go to our website, or you can subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
When I was a diocesan priest a number of years ago, there was a Sunday afternoon where, probably like many Sunday afternoons, I was tired from all the weekend masses and was ready to kind of relax a little bit, and all of a sudden the water stopped flowing in the rectory. A water main had broke and they had to turn off the water so that obviously it didn't create more damage. I was not happy. All I could think about at that moment was, well, what am I going to do? And I don't have any water, and how am I going to go to the bathroom, and how am I going to shower, and how am I going to do all these things, and so forth. And I was getting angrier and angrier, and I was saying, oh, why me? Why does this happen to me now? God, don't you know I've got so many things to do? I'm so busy. I was like the Israelites in the desert. In fact, if I had been an Israelite, I would have been at the front of that complaining line. I'm thirsty, there's no water. Why in God's name did you bring us out here in the desert? Because when I gave it a little thought, I realized, well, first of all, I've got the financial resources to simply go and buy water. They even sell it in huge 5-gallon containers. And not only that, the water wasn't going to be off forever, although it was 3 days, which did seem like an eternity to me because they needed to order a special part or something. And then when the water came back on, it was going to be clean, drinkable. It was going to be fine. I was going to be inconvenienced a little bit, but a lot of people around the world did not have clean water to drink, and if they did, the average person in the world today has to walk, in the developing world, has to walk 3 miles a day on average to get water. So I had to put things into perspective. The first reading is really about how it is that we deal with adversity. For the Israelites, they were in the desert and they just constantly complained. Even though they had seen the wonders of God again and again and again, they complained. And they complained a lot. They were always complaining to Moses. Right from the very beginning. Why did you bring us out here? Were there not enough burial plots in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die in the desert? We don't have anything to eat. We don't have anything to drink. We're tired of this manna. Give us something else. Again and again, there's a new reason for them to complain. Contrast that with the woman at the well. Now, this is quite a dramatic encounter. It's why I read the longer form today. The woman at the well has also encountered lots of adversity. We don't know why she had 5 husbands, but that's a lot of husbands. And she's living with a man now who's not her husband. So she's really on number 6. But she's hungry for something. She's thirsting for something, and she encounters Jesus. And little by little, as she gets to know Jesus more and more, she recognizes her thirst and that he can satisfy it. That he has something that's far more important than getting water out of a well. He has eternal life. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. Now, unless you've been living under a rock, you've probably heard at least a story or two about the coronavirus. We're facing a little bit of adversity. Those of you that are part of the greatest generation have had multiple instances where you have faced adversity. But I want to remind you of one thing in particular. I don't know that you were even alive during the Second World War. Maybe you were, but it was quite some time ago. Think about what happened during the Second World War. We had leadership that called us to our best in the midst of adversity. There wasn't a lot of fresh fruit and fresh vegetables. People had victory gardens, and they shared with each other. We collected from people all kinds of metal to help with the effort. We recognized that there was going to be adversity. Things were rationed. Gas, sugar, other types of things that were hard to get. But we banded together in adversity for a common cause. In a way, that's what our life is like. We, as people of faith, when we encounter adversity, can either decide to be like the Israelites, complaining about everything and wondering why we're being singled out for this terrible, terrible sacrifice that we have to make, or we can be like the woman, recognizing that we have the very thing that will enable us to endure this sacrifice that we have to make. Listen again to what Paul said in the second reading. We boast in hope of the glory of God. Now, hope is future looking. If we have what we hope for, we don't have to hope for it anymore, we have it. Hope is always something we hope, we believe, we're wanting to happen in the future. And hope, says Paul, particularly this hope in the glory of God, does not disappoint. Imagine if people saw in us, people of faith, if people saw in us at this moment the witness of people who trusted and hoped in this glory of God, come what may, if people showed peace and calm because of the abiding presence of Jesus, which we believe is always with us, would they be like the woman? So moved by her encounter with Jesus, she has to tell others. She's the great evangelist in this gospel. She encounters this personal relationship with Jesus, and she must share it. Will you do the same? Water can be a thing that is dangerous. We can drown. Or a thing that can be life-giving. It relieves dehydration. Today, set before you is a choice about how you will deal with adversity. Will you be like the people of the first reading who drown in their sorrows? Or like the woman who allows her soul to be refreshed and shares that with everybody she meets?